We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wade Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
So just take your Bible or your iPhone or your iPad or your smartphone or, I don't know, just hold your neighbor's Bible if you didn't bring one. And we're just going to pray, Lord Jesus, we just love you so much. And Holy Spirit of God, I just know you're present, so present. And I just know that you just have a message for each and every one of us tonight. And I just pray that we won't leave here the same. No, we'll have encountered you in a powerful way. And I just pray that for every girl here, that their hearts would be so open to you. And tonight their eyes would be wide open to the things of God in a pretty powerful way. Lord Jesus, we love you and we honor you in this place. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Take your seats. I might just move this a little bit and then I'll move it back because I'm going to have a chat to someone in a little bit, if that's okay. Because it's always good to chat to people. Yeah. And, you know, I've just been reminded, even this week, about how amazing God is. Yeah. And often we forget because life is chaotic and crazy and we forget that God is with us every moment. Jesus is with us every single moment. Sometimes we forget, I forget, and you forget because we're in this world of chaos sometimes and it just can be overwhelming. But this last season, I've been really reminded, and I just believe that God's going to ask a lot of us, and that's great because we're the women who he can ask a lot from, each and every one of us. So tonight, I wrestled with this message a little bit because I'm talking about Leah. And for those of you who know the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel, you'll all want to be Rachel, probably. And I'm going to talk about Leah, even though Leah was amazing, amazing, amazing. And we're going to look at her life. And there's not a lot that's talked about her, but her legacy was unbelievable. And I just know here tonight there are girls and you're carrying disappointment and heartache and rejection and brokenness and you think that God couldn't possibly use me. Like he couldn't possibly, like I started this Christian journey and I thought and I hoped and I prayed, but I don't know. It's been a long time since I've really even sensed God in my life, and I hope tonight will be a big reminder to you that he sees you, sees you. And the tears that you've cried, he's cried with you. And the rejection and heartache that you've felt, he's felt with you. And there is a purpose to your pain, which can be a throwaway line, but beyond that, God is so strategic and so masterful at how he weaves our life together and how he writes our story. And the thing is, you can write your story, but I've come to learn that when God takes the pen to our life and he writes it, that it's way better and it's way beyond what we could ever think or imagine. It just is. And our part in it is to trust him. And that's the hard part. Because we want the driver's seat a lot of the time. Because we feel like, you know, control is everything, right? Especially if we're a little OCD. So we're going to pick up this story. And we're all OCD in some area of our life, right? Like you ask the girls, I am really relaxed and chilled in church unless I'm speaking. And then I have to have my notes like, don't touch my notes. Where's my notes gone? You know, and even when they're right beside me, all of a sudden I have a mad panic attack. Where are my notes? Who took them? And they're like, oh, no, they're right beside you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. That's right. OCD. So I'm going to pick the story up. Tonight I'm going to speak on with eyes wide open, and I pray tonight that our eyes would be wide open. And looking out front of us, not down at our feet or I don't know where else to the side, but we would have eyes wide open And we would see Jesus right in front of us, leading and guiding. Margaret, I felt the Spirit of God say to me that this year has been a gift to you. The Holy Spirit of God just quickened to me last night as I was going over my message that this year has been a gift to you. It's not a coincidence, not a coincidence at all. This has been a crazy year, but it's been the hand of God. I also felt the Spirit of God say, Margaret, do not say, but God, I'm this age now. I just felt him say, absolutely, heck no. I would have said something else, but heck no, okay? The Aussie chick was coming out a little bit. I felt him say that what's coming up ahead is going to increase your capacity that you haven't seen. This chapter is going to be literally above and beyond what you could even imagine. Keep the dream alive, Margaret. Keep the dream alive. The influence, the impact, the gold that's in you, this chapter is going to be overflowing, and just trust God every step of the way and don't draw back, because this is from God. It's not a coincidence, Margaret. It's not a coincidence. Sorry. I just felt the Spirit of God prompt me there. So we got to get into this message or we'll be here till midnight. No, we won't really. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. This is a story of a young man who is falling in love with a woman. Now, Laban had two daughters. These are the daughters, or one of the daughters that Jacob likes. Jacob is a descendant of Abraham. Remember Abraham, God said, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you are set apart. I am going to you. He said to Abraham, your descendants will be as the stars in the sky, more than that, greater. So the hand of God is on this family. And so Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes. What the heck does that even mean? I have searched and tried to figure out, and, you know, scholars are, well, maybe she wasn't quite good looking. Well, it doesn't really say that. You know, it's amazing how the scholars are men and they jump to that conclusion, right? We don't really know what weak eyes means. It might mean that she was just a super hard worker and super tired, weary eyes. We don't really know. But anyway, the gist of the story is, it says, but Rachel had a lovely figure. Of course, she got a beautiful man writing about this. Now, we love our men, so I'm not, but I just smile to myself sometimes. Had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Earlier, you see, Jacob had seen Rachel because she was a shepherd. She was tending sheep. So she might have been beautiful, but she was a tough little cookie out there herding sheep. Not only had he seen her, he'd met her and kissed her. I don't think it was a little peck on the cheek. I think out in the sheep fields, he was having a passionate kiss and was like, oh, yeah, baby, I found the one I want. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. I mean, hello. Like, is this the best love story ever? If you're in the movies and a man saying, I love you so much, just 7 years felt like a few days. Like, if you're the girl, you're like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now? Like, and some of us are like, all right, where are we? Now I've lost the whole plot here. Jacob said, yeah, right, okay, there you are. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to make love to her. Can you imagine going up to your father-in-law and say, I want your daughter, so I want to have sex with her, right? The Bible's just great, isn't it? It's just great, just puts it right out there. This is the New International as well. I'm not even reading with a passion or... I mean, So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Remember, as we're reading these words, there's a little girl called Leah living this reality. Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one." Like, who said? I mean, it was okay when I talked to you about it, negotiated. Now all of a sudden the rules have changed. "Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also." I mean, hello. "In return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel, listen, his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. So I don't think either of these girls anticipated this kind of a wedding. Probably as they were growing up, you know, weddings are weddings all around the world, and obviously there's just different customs, but I don't envisage that Rachel or Leah thought this would be happening to them, and this would be what their wedding days would look like. And I just wonder how Leah is feeling right now. Rejection to the core. Bible doesn't hide it, puts it right out there. It shows us that even the people that God uses are very flawed, just like you and me. They are. And they try and get it right, but they don't always get it right all the time. And despite all the challenges and despite our humanity, God chooses to use us, all of us. Isn't that awesome? So we've got Leah not loved as much, maybe not as pretty, maybe some kind of disability and a sense of deep rejection, and probably thinking, this isn't where I saw my life going. I remember years ago, and I've told this story a couple of times, being in a youth meeting, and there was a gentleman speaking at our youth meeting, and he started to give words to people, kind of like I just said to Margaret, just encouraging words. And I remember I was sitting in the seat next to Steve, and he went down the row, and it seemed like to me that he went to everybody and gave them all these incredible words, and then he got to me and skipped, and then went to the next person, next person, next person. Now, I don't believe he did give words to everyone, but at that moment, the rejection I felt, I cannot tell you, it was like a knife in the chest. I was probably 18 or 19. Rejection is awful. It's horrible. It makes us feel unloved and unlovely. It's piercing. Horrible. But can I tell you that if I had built a theology on that moment, I wouldn't be here today. I remember getting in the car with a big lump in my throat. You know, Steve was bouncing off the wall because he got this great word, whatever. Like, you know. I remember getting in the car and sitting beside him, and because he's like, "Oh, it's amazing." And I was sitting there just, I thought if I talk, it's going to be the ugly cry. It's going to be like raging. Because the hurt and the pain. Anybody been there? Yeah. Mm. And so finally, after I'd been, you know, we had a 45-minute ride home to church. So dang, you know, the waterworks is going to come sooner or later. And it did. But all of us have had those feelings of never getting picked, never getting that job, feeling excluded, not fitting in, maybe even feeling like a failure. Totally discouraged. And tonight I want to just simple message, and I'm going to have a chat with one of our women in a minute. Just three simple points. Because Leah, God used powerfully. And I think there's been many moments in our lives when we've all felt a little bit like Leah. We wanted to be Rachel. We wanted to be the beautiful one, the one that got picked, the one that was in this love story, the one that was passionately kissed by the water. And yet somehow we feel like because of my past, my disability, my inability, where I come from. But God, you'll never use me. And I'm not even talking about relationships now. I'm just talking about life. So the first thing I want to say is my feelings do not dictate my future. My feelings do not dictate my future. We live in a very feeling-oriented world. And if it feels good, then it must be good. Not necessarily. Our feelings can sideswipe us, overpower us, even lie to us. God is not at the mercy of my feelings or your feelings. He is not at the mercy of them. My feelings need to fall on the mercy of God. Like I said before, we think our past, our disability, our location, our social status, our financial status or lack thereof, my Instagram followers, that's all going to make me feel better. Even feelings about certain relationships in our lives. And we think that how we feel about it is actually the truth. When sometimes our feelings are lying to us. You ever found that out? Oh man, when I just got that perspective, I realized, I'm going to ask a beautiful girl to come up here, beautiful Karen Fisher. Come on down, sweet. Because could it be that our eyes are on the wrong thing? This is Karen. I love
Thank you.
Thank you. I love this girl. She's been in our church for how long?
Going on 19 years.
19 years.
Yeah, 19 years.
Wow.
I'm that old now.
I have a 30-year-old daughter. That's crazy. I know, it's weird. Karen is the sister of one of our pastors, Chris Elliott, and raised by beautiful mom and dad who are pastors. And so Karen started coming to our church, got married, had a baby boy, and then when that little boy was 15 months, even prior to that, some things were going on in your world, so maybe you can want to tell the girls what was happening.
And Sharon had a front row seat to this journey, to say.
I did.
So I grew up, like Sharon said, in a Christian home. I didn't realize how much I was a perfectionist. I thought, I lived a good life, I've done this, I serve God, I lead worship, I've never had sex, I'm a virgin. Like, I thought I followed the formula. We have a formula, right? If you do this, this great stuff happens in your life. So my son's 15 months old, and I found myself a single mom. Completely ripped my world apart. And please forgive me, this is the first time I've shared this story, so it might be a little raw and bumpy and I might cry.
Good.
So forgive me. So I ended up just finding myself here. Life's supposed to be good. I met my husband in church. We went to marriage counseling. Like, I was checking off the list. What is going on? Like, this doesn't happen. And I can't even tell you, I've felt sadness before in my life. I've felt despair. But to feel complete and utter failure, shame, loss, I felt like someone died. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I wanted to die. Mm-hmm. To feel that you can't breathe, you can't sleep, you try, but you can't, you're shaking, and you have this little baby that is trying to find his way in the world. And I was an educator. I knew all about brain development. I'm a reader. I know what emotions do. I know they're connected to me. And I didn't know what to do. I was lost, completely and utterly lost, and didn't have a job. I was a stay-at-home mom. Lost our home, lost our business, and all I had was church. And I grew up in church. Church, we come and we sing and we look pretty and we put our shoes on and we pretend that everything's great, but I couldn't pretend. I would come broken. I didn't know what I was wearing. I didn't know if I had makeup on. I didn't know who I was. I would come with my son and I would sob every service, and I was so embarrassed, and I feel like the enemy just lies. Like, I would walk in and feel like everyone's judging me. I've been revealed. People know the truth. people know who I really am. I'm not worthy. I'm ugly. I'm not lovable. Somehow God skipped me. Somehow I wasn't a part of the promise. Somehow all those pages I've read excluded Karen. Like, somehow I'm here. So yeah. It just was raw.
Yeah. Completely. I remember you saying to me, divorce is not in my family. This is not supposed to be happening. It was just a very overwhelming and hard place for you to be. So maybe talk through, you know, obviously when stuff like that happens, we just want to run away. But there's nowhere to run to. And there's a little boy who was probably your saving grace in a lot of ways. But maybe talk to us, how did you, because he was 15 months then, he's 14 today. So there was a good chunk of time where you were doing life as a single mom and trying to find a place and getting roommates in and working full time and just doing it all. By the way, as a little just diversion, Wave City Care was birthed out of this girl. And it was because years before she was even married, she would bring just carloads full of young people where she was teaching to church. And that was kind of the beginnings of Wave City Care. So there is a touch of God on this girl that's still massively there. But talk to us, how did you stay? You were planted in church. How did you do that?
By the skin of my teeth and the edge of my nails. Yeah. That's all I can say. Going to Sharon, like, she would tell me when I was being crazy, you know, and Gay to Handshake, yeah, and Thesha Bove, these women that, let me just tell you, when you go through stuff, you really find out who your friends are.
Yeah.
You know, bottom line, the people you think are going to be there aren't. And then the people that are, it's just shocking. Like, Sharon would show up with groceries at my door, like, random. And I just can't even tell you. So I think just being willing, whether you like it or not, whether you hate it, whether you're angry, just listen. Show up. That's all I can say is show up. Like, I was angry at everyone. I went through a series of just devastation and fear and crippling anxiety to incredible anger. Like, I scared people. Like, the anger that came out of me. But just don't run from that. Like, let people pull you in. Sit in that row feeling like an idiot. Because you're not.
Right.
Because you need to be there. Because this is a place for broken people, not for pretty people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, just... Yeah. Snot is welcome here. Yeah. I'm just saying. So just crying and just feeling that, but doing it anyway. I think doing it afraid, showing up, doing that. And you know what? I might not have been the greatest emotional support for Jesse at that time, but the church was, and I showed up.
Yeah.
Moms, like, when you're going through stuff, you want to go find a man, go on a date, get a babysitter. You know what? Thank God I didn't have the money to do that. Not that I would, you know, I could have been, yeah, that person, but just being present, showing up and doing it afraid.
Yeah. And even, I know even through that time, just getting up and going to work was massive for you.
Yeah.
How did you get out of bed every day? What was the key to that? Because sometimes that can be just overwhelming, yeah, even in itself.
That little boy.
Yeah.
Crawling into my bed at 6 in the morning, staring at the window, saying, the sun's coming up, the sun's coming up. You know, that little boy, he's 14 now. He gave me the will, you know. And I had a picture, this is kind of cheesy, but I had a picture of Sarah Connor from Terminator on my dresser. And... I don't know if you know the story of Sarah Connor, but it was just the whole, the world's going to end, and the son, your son, is going to be the savior of the world. So she becomes this buff woman with a big bazooka and, like, a machine gun, and she doesn't care about anything else but raising that son to save the world. So I would look at that picture, and I still have it on my phone. And just that little boy. Yep, and knowing that whatever happens to me and whatever happened in the past, he has a future.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to mess that up.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'm grateful that you had parents that put a foundation in you, you know, because life gets difficult for all of us at times. And I know just having a mum and dad who, you know, they were brokenhearted. I remember them coming up here and they were just brokenhearted and were just walking with you because they're from Key West and you grew up in Key West. But, yeah, just amazing people too.
Yeah,
so,
and their prayers. Yeah. Like my mom wouldn't know what to say, but she would just call. Sometimes she wouldn't even say hi. She would just start praying. And somehow she knew at 3 a.m, she would call and she would just pray. Sometimes I just was so angry I couldn't read the Bible. I couldn't utter words. So a lot of times worship was my go-to. It didn't make me feel better because it's not about my feelings. It's about my spirit, and I needed that. And my mom would just call me and sing sometimes, and I would be so angry, but sometimes she would just call and sing, and she would get me to sing with her, and we would sing together, and just worship constantly in the house, constantly, whether I could read the Bible or talk to God at that moment. Worship was my talking to God.
Yeah.
It was releasing so much.
Good. So fast forward about 12 years maybe. And I know dating for you, we talked back and forward a little bit and it was scary.
Awful.
And, you know, and yet this wonderful man showed up on the scene and he was a single dad and you guys started dating. What I love about Karen is we talked about this, submitting your life, like yielding and just listening to people is so important. Because like I was saying before, we want to be in the driver's seat and think we know what we're doing, but very often we just need help walking through things in life. And you talked about just going, okay, this is what's going on. And I love that about you, and respect that you asked questions and you didn't just ask, but you listened and then you acted on, you know, I just honor you for that.
I try to sometimes, not all the time.
And you were thinking, what about 5 years down the, you know, because we talked about that this afternoon and you said, and we would just talk about, just think about tomorrow. Just think about a week from today. Yes. Let's rein it all back in. But about 12 years later, a wonderful man. Let's talk about Jason.
Yes. So, wow, 11 years, people. Like I thought, you know, and talking to Sharon, I was like, you know what? We'll be done all this. It's good. 5 years, 2 years, whatever. You know, it's going to be short. And it just, nope, and time kept coming.
And I remember you asking questions like, what's wrong with
you? Yes, constantly, like, am I not flirting enough? Like, am I not, like, what, am I the one with the crazy kid running around the lobby? I know that's like kryptonite. Like, what is it? And is it okay? Okay.
Whatever.
This is just, oh gosh, I'm just laying it all out there. So I worked at the Children's Learning Center for a season. Yeah. And again, church, even the job thing, you know, working there for a season and becoming the director and just putting my heart into other people's kids and God just giving me a heart for them and growing the church. One night it was a leadership training night and it was really late and I had a sweatshirt on and looked awful, no makeup, and I snuck in late. And Steve, this does not happen to me, said, Karen Wilkins, are you in here? I don't know if you remember this, but he made me stand up and he said, you will not have to search. You will not have to find. You will not have to chase. He will find you. So have peace in that.
Wow.
And just be still. And for me, that was the most amazing sense of peace to know, wait, I don't have to do all of that. Probably a few years later after that word, Jason Fisher started coming to church and we served in Wave Kids together. And he just always was in the lobby and just kind of popping in and we would talk. And I just really had some trust issues. And I got to that point where I went from, I need a man, I can't do this on my own, to I do not need a man to ruin my life. Like, stop it. Like, stop. So in God's goodness, this guy is just everything. I was so caught up in my preferences. We make these lists and we make these things before God. He has to have blue eyes, and he has to play the guitar, and he needs to be this, and that's the desire of my heart. Well, guess what? Preferences mean nothing. Right. It's character and principle, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's character and principle, and so he is nothing on my list. But he's the character and the principle,
yeah.
And God just really, we dated for a good 3 years, and he
well
just...
done.
Yeah.
Well done, well done for doing
amazing.
That. You, yeah. And so I think you've just had your first wedding anniversary in September.
Yeah, we've been married a year.
So I think we've got a picture of you guys.
Oh.
So look at that. There's
Jesse
Karen's gigantic son right there. And then she got a little girl and another little boy. How good is God? Karen, I just want to say I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I've watched you walk through the lowest, darkest season of your life, and you have stayed the path. You have. You've trusted God when it was so, so hard. And so I thank you for sharing your story. I think we've got some flowers for you. Have we got some flowers? Thanks, sweetheart. Let me get over here so I can hug you.
Yeah.
Flowers for you and a gift card, because so you can go do a little bit of shopping.
Thank you so much.
Girls, can we just thank her for sharing it? Thank you. You know, she told me that she had never shared a story before, and yet just a couple of weeks ago, God really put it on her heart. Karen, you got to start sharing this. And then I literally asked her, isn't that how God works? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Listen, girls, trust God with your life. Second thing I want to say really quickly, God is writing your story. Like Karen said, God is writing your story. I want you to say this, God is writing my story. Can we say it? God is writing my story. Again, God is writing my story. I want you to say it until the cows come home. I don't know if that's a saying here, but anyway. Yeah. Just until the cows come home. Verse 31, look what it says about Leah. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, who saw? Who saw? Who saw? Her life's in chaos. I'm sure she's feeling like, I mean... But God saw. He enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah conceived. I remind you that nothing that happens to you goes unnoticed by God. Nothing. Nothing. He sees it all, everything. The good, the bad, the stuff where you wonder where God is, like Karen was saying. And he's right there. I remember when Rachel Brown, who'd been on our team for 12 years, had to leave and go back to Australia and was told, you may be able to return to America after 10 years, but maybe not at all. I remember we were all like, what? How can this be happening? She ended up only being away for 5 years. In the midst of that, I had 3 kids that got married, and she was like Aunt Rachel. But God was writing the story.
Yeah.
And so even though Rachel was in Australia for 5 years, and even though they'd said you won't be able to come back for maybe not at all, but minimum 10 years, every time I had a child get married and Rachel applied to get a visa to come, she got the visa. Because God's writing the story of your life. And so what people have said about you and over you and, that could never happen, God goes, hello. Trust me with the story writing, not you. I don't know what you're here tonight with thinking, God, what's been spoken over your life, what's happening in your life. Maybe you're walking through a marriage crisis right now. I don't know. But God is writing it if you trust him, if you just keep your eyes focused on him. You know, last night, again, I'm just reminded, I just laugh, you know, because last night Steve and I got to meet the Vice President of the United States and were invited to meet him and have a photograph with him. And I got to be honest with you, I'm an Aussie chick. I grew up in Sydney suburbia. I mean, nothing happens in Sydney suburbia, it just doesn't. And yet, last night, here I am, and we're in line, and Steve and I got to be the first in line to meet him, like, and so we're waiting, and he's coming in, and it's just there's all this protocol and whatever, and the Secret Service come in and it's like 20 people and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is like being in the movies, like for real. Like, I'm just laughing to myself because when I was 15 and I encountered Christ, going to America wasn't even on my radar, let alone living here and meeting the vice president, having a photograph with him. But see, years ago, someone had prophesied over Steve and I that that would be part of our story. And 23 years later, I'm standing here going, only God. Because God is writing your story. And you're going to look at me and say, yeah, but you're a pastor. Because that's what we all do. We think that those people, it only happens to those people because they're closer to God. I can tell you that I am no closer to God than you are. No closer. I'm just in the lane that he's asked me to run in. And when you stay in the lane that God has asked you to run in, you'll be amazed at what he does with your life. Open your eyes, girls. Don't be complacent. Don't get over familiar. Don't think I've tried this. Stop. Because God has big things ahead. Third thing, let praise ever be on your lips. Let praise ever be on your lips. I've learned as I have spoken to my emotions and feelings, you will not rule me. You won't. When I feel a certain way, I start just declaring, I will praise you, God. I will lift my spirits. Why are you down on my soul? Yet I will praise you. I've learned to live that way. It didn't come naturally. I was raised by Aussie cynics. If you don't know, now you know. Listen to beautiful Leah. She has a first little boy called Reuben, means behold a son. Second little boy, Simeon, because the Lord has heard. He has given me this son also. Third son, Levi, which means joined, attached, pledged. Levi became the Levite tribe. Fourth son, Judah, meaning praise. Judah was the tribe of Judah. I then go to the book of Matthew. I read the genealogy of Jesus, and this is what I see. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah, and so on and so on. When the Bible talks about the line of the tribe of Judah, he's talking about this baby boy that was birthed by Leah, who man would have said, what can God do with her? God goes, I need you. Oh, Leah, I'm counting on you, baby girl. I'm counting on you. You're going to birth this boy. And the Messiah is going to come from him. I need you, Leah. I need what's in you. I need the foundation you're going to put in that child. He's going to be over this tribe. We don't hear a lot about Leah, but her legacy is Jesus. Is that kind of crazy? See, I believe the Bible says God wants to do exceedingly above. He can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. And then it goes on to say, glory, glory to God in the church. Glory to God, the Messiah. Glory down all generations. Glory through all millennia. Psalm 146, I will praise the Lord all my life. Not just in the high seasons, not just in the good seasons. In the hardest seasons as well. I'm going to get the guys to come and take this table. And tonight I've just asked the team to sing Reckless Love again. Because I just believe God wants to meet with us. Open your eyes, girls. Open your eyes to the possibility. Understand what God has for you. That he's opened, he's given us the word of God. They're going to bring the thrust stage in. And I'm going to ask us, this season, you know, some of you know, this is not for salvation, but you know, God, you're asking me to lift my eyes. You're asking me to trust you. You're asking me to leave my discouragement. You're asking me to give it all to you. Maybe you're in a season right now where you just know, I just got to get my praise on. I'm going to get you to come down the front. Just why don't we stand? And the team's going to lead us in reckless love. And our pastors and our elder wives and our leader wives are going to be here, and they're going to pray for you. Because I believe God wants to do something really significant in our lives tonight. So come forward. Come forward, girls. We just want to pray for you. We just want to lay hands on you in Jesus' name.
You are.
love it. Just beautiful tears. Beautiful, beautiful tears. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Vanessa, God sees you. He sees you, sweet girl. He sees you right where you are. Nothing too hard for God, nothing. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's out in front of you. You know, what's interesting about Leah is she got buried next to Jacob. It's amazing how God writes the story so perfectly. The things that you think are impossible, girls, they're just not. Just not. Leah just had to look up and see, Jesus, you're out in front. Amazing. I love the tears here. I love the beautiful presence of God. I love that Jesus met with us tonight. And the girls are still praying, but I just want to ask a question just before we dismiss to the girls out there. Do you know Jesus? I mean, do you really know him? Do you know what it is to walk and talk with him every day? Because you can do that. He's not so far away that he doesn't care. He's so personal. Tonight, I want to give you an invitation to know him. Maybe you once made a decision to follow Jesus, but your heart strayed away. It's okay. It happens. I want you to come on home. Maybe you were raised in church your whole life. You think, yeah, I got this down. No, no, sweetheart. Jesus is, you know, he's saying, I need you 100%. Or maybe you've never been in a church like this and you never understood that what, I can have a personal relationship with Jesus, that he wants to be with me every day of my life. Yep, honey, he does. So with every head bowed real quick, we're not going to rush it though. Every eye closed. If that's you tonight and say, Sharon, yeah, could you include me in that prayer? You don't have to come to the front. You can stay right where you are. Include me in that prayer. Can you pray for me to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life? Can you lift your hand up right now and we'll pray for you all over this auditorium. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Just lift your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. Could you include me in that prayer? We're all going to pray with you, honey. You're not by yourself. Just lift your hand up and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? Could you pray for me? Maybe your heart's beating a little quicker and you know God is drawing you to himself. Don't be shy. Lift your hand up right now. Right now. Just lift it up right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm just going to take a second. Just going to take a second. Girls, let's pray this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. And thank you that tonight I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now listen, if you said that prayer tonight, maybe you didn't put your hand up, but if you said that prayer tonight and you really meant it, and you really meant it, listen to me. It's so important. Just tell our girls out at the Next Step desk, will you do that? Say, hey, I did pray that prayer and I meant it. Because we want to help you on this journey of following Christ. Listen to me. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus that keep us on the path that he's asked us to walk on. Keeps us on the straight and narrow, I promise you. We can't do this life alone. We want to be in the driver's seat. We think we're self-made people. We're not. I'm 55, I can tell you. I need Jesus more today than when I start. I promise you. We don't ever have it all together. So if you did, make sure you tell them out there in Jesus' name. Okay? Got that? Did you have a good night? Did God meet with you? Thank you, Karen. Thank you, stunning girl. You're so stunning, and I'm so proud of you and honored and proud to know you. I really am. Well done, good and faithful girl, servant, to just stay in your lane. Really stay in your lane. Well, girls, I think we got some party food, and I just love these nights. I feel like God just turns up in a really special way, don't you? So the team's going to take us out. Go, be blessed, hang out, make some new friends tonight in Jesus' name. We'll see you Sunday at church.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.